In a few minutes, we'll ponder one of the great imponderables of 2017. What happens when the United States drops the word coalition from its international vocabulary? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, we now know who the Trump team wants to police Wall Street. The name is Clayton. His name is Jay Clayton, who will be nominated for the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Clayton's a lawyer with a long career representing the companies he could soon regulate. Here's Marketplace's Lewis Wallace.
Jay Clayton is an attorney at Sullivan and Cromwell, which represents a lot of Wall Street clients. So in that capacity, he was really involved in the response to the financial crisis. He worked on the sale of Bear Stearns to J.P. Morgan and the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers in 2008. He also recently advised on Alibaba going public, the biggest IPO in history. So he would bring a lot of potential conflicts of interest to his role as the top regulator of Wall Street and finance. He'd probably have to recuse himself from a number of things. He has criticized the Obama-era leadership of the SEC for being too zealous and prosecutorial. All this has already provoked a reaction from Senate Democrats who are probably going to grill him in confirmation hearings.
Lewis, thank you very much. Let's check the numbers here. The big market story, I must say, is the biggest two-day jump ever for China's currency, with the yuan up and the dollar down to 6.89, as economic data in recent days point to a stronger Chinese economy. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are each down about 0.1%. Dow future down just 2 points. Now, we don't need more things to worry about. We all have our own lists. But every year, the Eurasia Group, a global business risk consultancy, publishes its fresh ranking of things on the global stage that should be keeping us up at night in 2017. Here with numero uno on the list is the Eurasia Group's founder, Ian Bremmer. Ian, good to see you.
David, you as well.
So on this list of risks, numero uno here is listed as independent America. This is in part the Trump agenda.
It is. It's been coming for a long time, but it's quite definitive with the inauguration of President Trump. The idea that the United States is not isolationist, but is completely unilateralist, right? That we're declaring independence from our burdens and responsibilities with allies and multilateral structures all over the world. And while that doesn't cause a lot of risk at home in the United States, it does for just about everyone else.
And what's so interesting about that is a fundamental reversal of everything we've seen since the Second World War.
It's a fundamental reversal of the Pax Americana. But, you know, the rise of China has been coming for a while. The weakness of Europe and the transatlantic relationship, that too. And American allies were concerned, you know, with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, with Obama's various red lines the Americans didn't follow up on, that they didn't have the ability to count on the United States the way they had historically. With Trump, they know they can't. And that is really going to drive much more risk in the Middle East, a much weaker transatlantic relationship with the Europeans going their own way, and a lot of opportunities for the Chinese to develop alternatives to the U.S., both regionally as well as on a global economic agenda.
Now, this doesn't just cause agita in foreign capitals. I mean, multinational companies that work across these borders are also trying to figure out how this is going to play.
Well, multinational corporations like a world where globalization and Americanization are the same thing. And while globalization is continuing, the idea that the United States is going to drive a single set of global standards or a global internet, you know, or an increasingly global trade universe, like that's clearly off the agenda. So this is a much more complicated, much more challenging environment for U.S.-based multinationals.
And we should remind ourselves that Donald Trump doesn't see this as a risk. He sees this as, I guess, an opportunity.
There's no question there's a lot that Trump can do that will support U.S.-based multinationals in terms of taxation and regulatory policy. But from a global perspective, U.S. multinationals, you could make the argument they shouldn't even call U.S.-based. They're just multinational corporations, corporate inversions where companies just leave the U.S. for better taxes. Why would they be U.S.-based multinationals? Trump has a point there. But again, if you're talking about what's driving global political risk, this clearly is top of your agenda.
The Eurasia Group each year publishes its top risks. The latest one for 2017 is just out. The founder of Eurasia Group, Ian Bremmer, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Marketplace.org for the director's cut of our conversation about risks for 2017. The Consumer Electronics Show kicks off officially in Las Vegas today, full of voice-enabled refrigerators and all manner of virtual reality. The overarching theme of this vast trade show is electronically connecting everything together. You already know that you can stick up a button that summons a delivery of toilet paper. Amazon will do that, although you do have to wait a while for the delivery guy to get there. Perhaps more interesting is what happens when cities connect up buildings and roads. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is on the scene in Las Vegas.
As our country starts to have a big conversation around infrastructure, which is a big part of the Trump administration's agenda, the question is what kind of infrastructure we're going to build. Is it going to be smart, connected infrastructure that can move tech forward or, you know, not? I caught up with the mayor of Denver, Colorado, Michael Hancock. That city has a partnership with Panasonic, which is part of a huge transportation research project located there in Denver. And he told me about some of the stuff the city is experimenting with.
We already got solar canopies and over parking lots, for example, to help us become more efficient in using energy. You're going to see street lights that are more sensor-driven so that they only come on as people or cars are moving along the streets. Our traffic signalization, for example, becomes smart so that it keeps traffic moving so that it's not having you sit at a light when no one else is going the opposite direction.
Almost every company here is working on autonomous cars in some way, and infrastructure is a huge part of that. Here's Hancock again.
We're also trying to embed technology in our roads as we improve them so that we can prepare for the oncoming autonomous vehicles going forward. And I think that's strategically important because we want to stay ahead of that curve and not have to rush to get caught up.
And Hancock told me that as a nation, we're really behind compared to countries like Japan, and that when we want to start really rolling out self-driving cars, they have to be able to talk to each other and to the roads and the streetlights and the buildings all around them. So I think you can expect this to be a much bigger storyline going forward.
Our Molly Wood in Las Vegas. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.